Hey there, Slump Busters. I'm here and welcome you to the Slump Buster Fantasy Football Podcast with your host, the Fantasy Aristotle himself. Get you ready for NFL Week 12. We got those Thanksgiving games coming up. But you know what we're thankful for? Our sponsors, our paid partners, the people that make this podcast possible. So let me tell you about Manscaped.com. I'm talking about the number one in men's grooming, Manscaped.com, the Perfect Package 2.0, the Lawnmower 3.0, the Head Trimmers, the Crop Preserver, the anti-chafing boxer briefs. Now, this is a company you can believe in, I believe in, and I think is the number one company to hashtag bust the slump. Go ahead and check them out. Promo code slump, save 20% off, plus free shipping handling at manscaped.com. Promo code slump. That is slump, as in Slump Buster Podcast, the podcast you're listening to. Go ahead and check them out. But you know what else promo code slump is going to do? It's going to save you money on your next CBD purchase. And you're going to do that at naturesrelieftx.com. You've heard a lot about CBD companies. You've heard about a ton of CBD companies in recent years. But naturesrelieftx.com is the only one approved by the Slump Buster Podcast. They have organic, tested, proven products that you can believe in. And I'm telling you, Christmas is around the corner. Go ahead and treat yourself. Have a very Merry Christmas with naturesrelieftx.com. But we're not done, folks. We are not done. Let's say you just need to start that Thursday morning. You're talking about Thanksgiving dinner. You have a whole assortment of foods to cook up. Well, go ahead and get yourself some caveman coffee. You need a case to get you ready to bust that slump in the morning and get you going. Use promo code slump at cavemancoffeeco.com and enjoy a bevy of fantastic products. I'm talking about the Nitro Cold Brew. I'm talking about the hibiscus tea. What about that pumpkin spice latte? Caveman Coffee Co. promo code slump. That is the perfect combination to get you going your Thanksgiving morning, your holiday morning, whatever you're working on. Promo code slump. But when you're done saving money, let's make some fucking money. Yeah, that's right. Make some fucking money. Let's use Razorsport.com. That's R-A-Z-E-R sport.com to learn what Vegas is talking about. How do you want to beat Vegas? Well, you bet with Razorsport.com. You listen to their expert team, handicappers, bettors, and people that know what Vegas is thinking about, and you trust them because they've been there. They know what you want to bet on. They won't tell you how much to bet. That's up to you. But at the end of the day, you're going to make a lot of money with Razor Sport, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com, promo code slump. Anyway, guys, we got a fun episode for you. Let's get into it. Let's hashtag bust the slump.
Quiet on the set, make sure my mic is on. Eris Dre and Juju Dog diving towards the pylon. Go for two, so damn rude, recognize authority. Spitting tips for fantasy, no way you're outscoring me. Bold predictions with conviction every single day. Sports addiction, no restriction, kicking game like Pele. He's the greatest, what's the basis? Pick an athlete, let's debate this game. Outrageous trading places, sudden death, take 10 paces. Turn and shoot, poise the truth, Mamba mentality. Future greats take their place, dreams become reality. Blowing outside, knocked it out the park. Your boy discovered fire like a rock with a spark. Refs acting like Neanderthals, phantom flags, nothing calls. Heartbreak losses, tragic falls. Every week discuss it all. Settle in, listen up, free your time like Andrew Luck. Show's about to start, I suggest you buckle up.
Let's get a Joey B on 3, 1, 2, 3. Joey B. Man, so this week was a rough week for everybody. We lost Joe Burrow to a season-ending injury, ACL, MCL tear. If you look at the video, there's an angle where it looks like his knee pops out of place and pops back into place. So that might be what the other structural damage is on the report. So thoughts and prayers go out to him for a speedy recovery. You hate to see somebody so promising go down like that, a la RG3. I did see a thing that says FedEx Field might be cursed because so many quarterbacks have been getting hurt there. Alex Smith got hurt there. Kyle Allen, RG3, Joe Theismann, and now Joey Burrow. FedEx Field might be cursed for quarterbacks because so many good, promising quarterbacks have gotten season-ending and even in some cases career-ending injuries there. Hopefully he can come back strong, but we all kind of knew something was bound to happen because of how bad the offensive line in Cincinnati is. They are completely terrible. One of the worst offensive lines in the league. They've just given up so many pressures to Joey. They cannot keep him clean for a whole game. You hate to see it. Hopefully, they're going to have a top five pick. There are some pretty good offensive linemen out there. I'm hoping they pass on an offensive lineman because the Chargers need one. So selfishly, I hope that they continue to win and we continue to lose so we can get that player, that offensive tackle, maybe an offensive guard just to solidify our offensive line because for so long we have been terrible. That being said, there is some other news that came out as well. J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram both tested positive for COVID-19, as did Adam Thielen. Well, I don't think he tested positive, but he is on the COVID-19 list. So maybe he had a close contact with somebody. So J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are both going to be out for the Thursday game on Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving night. I believe they have the night game against Pittsburgh. So they're going to be out. So all aboard the Gus bus, as everybody likes to call it. So we'll get into that here in a second as well. And hopefully you can find a replacement for Thielen. He plays on Sunday though, so he might be able to pass the COVID protocols to be able to play on Sunday. But as of right now, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, both out for Thursday's game. That was really the big news of the weekend. Adam Thielen, of course, had the two touchdowns, so that's going to be a big loss for people. J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, not so much. Mark Ingram wasn't really rostered on a lot of leagues. J.K. Dobbins was rostered in a fair amount of leagues, but not in a starting role because that offense has just been so chaotic running back by committee-wise for them. But now it is all aboard Gus Bus, and like I said, we'll get into him here in a second. So we'll just break down the week like we normally do. So we're going to start off with our top 10 consensus rankings and then the top 10 for the week. And then just keep going from there. We have the slump buster of next week. We have the busters of this week and some waiver wire ads for you guys as well. So top 10 consensus for our quarterbacks. These are our personal top 10 consensus rankings between me, Bob, and Andrew. We all do a set of rankings and then we configure them into a list of top 10 for the whole show. So number one for us this week was Kyler Murray. He did finish 11th, so just outside of that top 10, but still a QB1. Patty Mahomes was our QB2. He finished as QB5 overall on the week. And if you saw what happened Sunday night, you know that this man is a magician, and I hate that I have to see him for the next decade plus being a Chargers fan myself. So it's just going to be breaking my heart every year because, I mean, he is just ridiculously crazy. His skill set is really good. His arm is really amazing. He's developing how to read defenses, if you saw that quote from the offseason. And then Andy Reid was asked after the game if he was worried about the game-winning drive not finishing. He said no, because I have Patrick Mahomes and a minute and a half. So, great. He doesn't care about the time. They can go down and score in three plays in 50 seconds. They don't care. And the Raiders just forgot to play defense and forgot to cover the best player in that receiving core. Yes, Tyreek Hill is a good player, but Travis Kelce is the best receiving threat that they have. Russell Wilson had a bounce-back week. We did say he was going to be the third-best quarterback of the week. He did finish at 13. Last week, he finished outside of the top 10, even as a QB2. He had a pretty terrible game. Didn't throw a touchdown last week against the Rams. Number four for us was Justin Herbert. He finished as QB2 on the week. He has broken numerous records this week as a rookie quarterback. Most consecutive 2+ touchdown games at 7, and most 3 touchdown games as a rookie quarterback at 5 such games this year. So he is on pace to break the rookie passing record and on pace to break the rookie touchdown record as well. So Herbert is going to be a quarterback, especially for fantasy purposes going forward, as long as they keep that core. Keenan Allen just signed an extension. He's still on the team for about 4 years. Hunter Henry is on a franchise tender. We'll see if he gets a long-term deal next year. And then Mike Williams is on contract for at least one more season. So we'll see if they can continue to keep that core there. And of course, they're going to build around him as well. He's the future of the franchise. He has the potential to be a top 10 quarterback moving forward his career. As of right now, he is a top 10 quarterback weekly as well. Number five for us was Big Ben. He did finish 14, but he really didn't have to do much. Jacksonville, there was early in the game. They were around for a little bit, but then towards the end of the game, it was just, you know, it was just a sloshing. Six for us was Aaron Rodgers. Was pretty quiet game, but he did finish as QB4. All of his time came in the fourth quarter. All of his points, I mean, came in the fourth quarter where they actually started to do stuff and they were just stifled the whole game pretty much. Number seven, Lamar, he finished as QB15. They get a date with the Pittsburgh Steelers next week. I might fade him. I might put him even as a QB2 because Pittsburgh's defense has most interceptions on the year for an NFL team, most sacks for an NFL team. They are a very good defense. Now they're going to be going up against just one running back instead of a whole plethora of the three-headed monster that they have there. Still doesn't really have a receiver that scares me, so I might fade him a little bit this coming week. Matt Ryan, we thought, was going to have a good game. He ended up being a QB25 overall for the week. Deshaun Watson, we did say he was going to be number nine, and this man finished as QB1 this week. He had, I think he had like 28 points in the first half alone, and he gets a Detroit defense that is terrible the early Thanksgiving game this coming week. So expect a big number from him as well if you had him. And he's going to be an intriguing Thanksgiving Day quarterback for daily fantasy sports as well. And then Cam Newton, we said, was going to be the 10th best quarterback this week. He was actually top three in passing yards, but did finish as QB12. So he did finish as a QB1 this week. So we'll see what he can bring next week as well. So for quarterbacks for the weekly rankings, like I said, Deshaun Watson gets Detroit next week. He finished as QB1 this week. He gets that early Thanksgiving game. It's about 9:30 my time, so we're Mountain Standard Time, so just adjust accordingly for you. So if you're in California, that means you get an 8:30 in the morning game, kind of like a London game, because I think those London games were like 7:30 my time. So like I said earlier, Justin Herbert finished as QB2. He does get a little bit of a tougher defense next week in the Buffalo Bills. QB number three on the week was Kirk Cousins. He does get Carolina next week, which is a middle-of-the-road defense. I can see this one's developing into a slower game if Teddy Bridgewater isn't back. P.J. Walker did look pretty good, but he's still just not adjusting to the game. It was his first NFL start, so it's going to take him some time to get up to speed, to the NFL speed. It is going to be a lot faster than the XFL, but the XFL is faster than college football, so he'll get there eventually. Aaron Rodgers finished fourth. He gets Chicago next week, so he always does pretty good against Chicago, so I can continue to see him in the top 10 next week as well. Five this week was Patrick Mahomes. He gets Tampa Bay, who has been pretty burnable. Even though they're a top five defense, they have been pretty burnable yardage wise and it's Patrick Mahomes, so you can never count him out. Number six on the week was Derek Carr. I'll talk about him a little bit later on in the episode when we get to our waiver wire ads, because he's going to be on the streaming radar for the rest of the year. We'll talk about that here in a second. But he does get Atlanta next week. Atlanta is a pretty terrible defense. I mean, you really can't say more than that. Number seven on the week was Philip Rivers. He does get a date with Tennessee again, where he was a top 12 quarterback a couple weeks ago, and Michael Pittman Jr. was a star in that game. So that'll be a good matchup for him. I'd still slide him in as a QB2 just because it is Rivers. He is on the decline of his career. Eight is Tannehill. The reverse of that game, he does get Indianapolis, who is a pretty solid defense. I mean, they're one of the better statistical defenses in the league this year. Fantasy-wise, they're decent. They do give up some yards, but they are one of the top scoring defenses in the week. Number 9 on the week was Andy Dalton. The Cowboys came back at full force, really, for this game. His first game back from the injury of him getting absolutely crushed against Washington a couple weeks ago. And he actually gets Washington this coming week. So hopefully the defense can actually, or the offensive line can actually protect him. And if he does get knocked out again, they can actually rush to his aid, because this is the first time I've ever seen a quarterback get totally obliterated and an offensive lineman not rush over to either fight the player or help the quarterback up off of the ground, because that was just a weird thing to happen. And then number 9 is Taysom Hill. They do get Denver next week, so a decent defense. They do have some pretty good corners, but I can see Taysom Hill having another good week. ESPN is going to fix the problem that they had where they left him as a tight end. I think it's really happened because they didn't really announce him as the starter until about Friday, I believe it was, that they announced him as a starter, or late Thursday night. So they really didn't have time. I mean, they really did, but he was already set for the week to be a quarterback tight end, but he's no longer going to be a quarterback tight end in all of the leagues. He's going to be just a quarterback. And he scored 23 points this week, which was the 5th best tight end performance of the year. So, I mean, if you got to steal that win with Taysom Hill in your tight end slot, good on you. I mean, it's not going to happen again. So, there's that. I mean, it might happen next year. We don't know what they're going to do next year.
This is message brought to you by the Foundation for a Perfect Package.
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Why do I need Manscaped?
Because the only frill I want is the one up top.
Because being in a relationship is not an excuse to be lazy.
Because I like talking ball, not smelling like them.
Because deforestation is proven to prevent forest fires.
Manscaped is the only brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped's Crop Preserver guarantees that you smell your best all day long.
Manscaped Boxer Briefs are the most comfortable underwear on the market.
Manscaped's advanced skincare technology makes nicks a thing of the past.
Manscaped is the number one in men's grooming. Subscribers get 2 free blade refills every 3 months. Get 20% off plus free shipping and handling with the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. That's the promo code SLUMP at manscaped.com. Get your Lawnmower 3.0 today.
We are the Slump Busters.
And we approve this message.
All right, so on to running backs now. We did say Alvin Kamara was going to be the best running back of the week, and we were pretty let down on that fact. I believe he had 10 points. Latavius Murray had the same exact points as he did. He finished as RB25 on the week. Dalvin Cook, we said, was going to be the second best. And guess what? He was actually the best. This man is unstoppable right now. He's looking like to be the clear number one running back at the end of the year. Derrick Henry was number 3 for us, and he ended up finishing number 2 on the week. And we are now in Derrick Henry month. Like, this is his time to shine. He's going to be running over people because people do not want to tackle this big ass dude right now. I wouldn't want to do it. I know NFL corners are not wanting to do it, so he's going to turn somebody into a lead blocker like he does. He's going to have a stiff arm. He's going to have a 99-yard run, 98-yard run, a 90-yard run, whatever it is. But he's going to have that late-in-the-season highlight that he always has. We said Nick Chubb was going to be the 4th best running back, and he was decent. He had a pretty good game. He is splitting time with Kareem Hunt, and they are very like the Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara tandem from a couple years ago. They feed off of each other. So, I mean, it is what it is. They're both going to be starting caliber running backs for your fantasy team moving forward as well. Aaron Jones was going to be the 5th best running back. He had a very quiet game, but did finish as RB9. Josh Jacobs has been getting into a groove lately. They have been spelling him with the emergence of Devontae Booker in this offense. So just keep an eye on that, but he's still going to be a good running back option moving forward. He finished as RB18 this week. Mike Davis, we said, was going to be the seventh best running back this week. He did finish as RB11. It does look like Christian McCaffrey is going to be out again this Sunday. So if you have Mike Davis, you get another week with him. And it's going to be touch and go for the rest of the season. So make sure you keep hold of him. James Conner has had a pretty quiet season. Pittsburgh Steelers aren't running the ball a lot. They are very pass heavy. We said he was going to be RB8. He finished as the 19th best running back this week. He does get a date with Baltimore, so I'll put him on the back end of those rankings. He's going to be more of an RB2. He's going to be right around that range, low end RB1 to high end RB2 for the rest of the season. Miles Sanders was going to be the ninth best running back, and now he finished RB30. So it doesn't seem like Doug Peterson knows what to do with him. It's very annoying. It's very depressing because he is clearly the best player that they have, and they just don't use him. He can catch out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside of the tackles. He's super fast. So I just don't know why they don't use him more. And then to round out our top 10, it was James Robinson. Again, he had a pretty tough matchup. He still has Jake Luton or Luton, however you want to say it, as his quarterback. So we'll continue to see him come back into fantasy relevance as a top 10 player week in and week out once Minshew comes back and they can get a little bit rolling, which sounds weird saying that Minshew's going to get them rolling, but the offense just hasn't looked the same with Minshew out. James Robinson finished as RB23 of the week. So now let's go into the top 10 weekly finishers this week. Dalvin Cook, of course, got number one overall. He gets Carolina next week. Carolina's like I said earlier, a beatable defense, so expect him to have a pretty big game again. Derrick Henry gets Indianapolis. They did hold him to, I believe it was 103 yards, no touchdowns. So, I mean, you could see similar numbers from that. I don't expect a huge game from him, but again, this might come back to bite me in the ass because, like I said, it is his month where he just balls out. But I'm expecting that more in the Jacksonville game where he breaks off a 98-yard run again like he has the past couple times. Number three on the week was Zeke. It was his first 100-yard game of the year, which is sad because it's week 11, and usually he's already at 1,000 rushing yards. He gets Washington, who has a pretty stout front seven. So just expect, you know, back-end RB2 numbers with the occasional boom from him because he is talented, but this offense is just lacking really everything at this point. RB4 on the week was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He gets Tampa next week. Tampa is a pretty dominant front seven. I don't think they've allowed a 100-yard rusher in the last several games. So it is Kansas City, so you really can't bank on those stats very well. It's Kansas City. They can pretty much beat anybody. They can score at will. He did have two rushing touchdowns, so it was nice to see him back to a workhorse role. Hopefully they found a nice mix where you have him in your workhorse role and Lev Bell coming into spell or using Lev Bell as your slot receiver, something like that. Number five on the week was J.K. Dobbins. Unfortunately, he has COVID-19. He has the Rona, and he is out for next week, so can't do much there. Gus Bus, let's roll. RB6 on the week was Melvin Gordon. He does get New Orleans. New Orleans has not allowed a single player to get over 100 yards rushing. They have allowed a team in the past 40 games, but no single player has gotten over 100 yards rushing. So expect less than 100, maybe a touchdown. But I can see them trying to catch up in the ball game, so they're going to be throwing the ball a lot more. So don't expect a big game from him. Maybe use him as a flex, your third running back, whatever it is. I'm not really going to start him with confidence next week. RB7 on the week is Carlos Hyde. This one's going to be weird. So he's still going to be on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues. Somebody's probably going to drop him tomorrow morning or whatever it is because Chris Carson might be back. Keyword might. He's going to be one of those players where if you have him, I would hold on to him if you can spare the spot. Still don't drop him. If he's on the waiver wire, pick him up, spend a couple bucks on him because Chris Carson may or may not be back. They get Philadelphia. Philadelphia has allowed quite a bit of rushing yards the last couple weeks. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt just tore them up on the ground this week. So keep a hold of him, but watch all of the news coming out of practice this week for them. Number eight is Antonio Gibson. He's a very quiet, solid RB2 for you this season. He does get Dallas. Dallas's defense is abysmal. Dalvin Cook had a really good game against them this week, so expect, you know, right around 100 yards and a touchdown from him this coming week. Aaron Jones finished as RB9 this week. They do get Chicago. It's a pretty good matchup for them. Him, Jamal Williams, they run in tandem. Jamal Williams coming in to spell him, really, or maybe being in more passing down situations. But you can fire him up as a top five running back the rest of the year. Now, Kenyon Drake finished 10, and this is a weird situation. Him and Chase Edmonds are splitting work in that backfield. Not really one has done more since they've been back in the backfield together. Not a single one has done more to solidify him as the starter or losing the job. So they're going to continue to split work. We'll see how it works in this offense. But a lot of the rushing touchdowns, unfortunately, are going to Kyler Murray. He does get New England, which Bill Belichick does like to take away your best option, which is going to be DeAndre Hopkins. So that might mean more opportunities for Kenyon Drake this coming week. Fire him up as an RB2 next week. All right, so on to receivers. DeAndre Hopkins, as the consensus best overall receiver for us, actually flopped this week. He finished as wide receiver 37. Actually, our top two receivers flopped. We had Terry McLaurin as our number two receiver, and he ended up finishing as wide receiver 28. So a tough week for the top two receivers from the Slump Busters. Wide receiver 3, Devontae Adams, he finished this week as the fifth best receiver, and he's continued to be a top five option, especially being Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. 4 on the week for us was Tyreek Hill. He finished as wide receiver 3. It's looking like he's due for a bust game. I'm not necessarily going to say it's next week against Tampa Bay because they're currently getting burned right now by the two Rams receivers. So I can see that happening again. But there is a week of 3 points coming for Tyreek Hill. So just be wary of Tyreek Hill. Fifth best receiver for us was actually Keenan Allen, who annihilated the Jets. 16 catches, 148 yards, a touchdown. He had 10 catches and 109 yards at halftime. Keenan Allen is a top 10 receiver every week now that Herbert can actually throw the ball down the field, intermediate, everything. Keenan Allen is now on, I'm going to say he's going to be on people's keeper list because you probably drafted him in the 5th, 6th, 7th round. So if you can get a top 10 receiver in, you know, for a 5th round pick or a 4th round pick or whatever, that one round above where you drafted him, that's a pretty good steal. And with Herbert looking like he can ball out pretty much week in and week out, Keenan Allen is going to be a top 10 receiver week in and week out as well. Tyler Lockett finished this week as the 9th best receiver. Him and Russ are, you know, they're conjoined twins. They can just read each other's minds. Was it toe drag swag, I think they call it. He's just so good. It's going to be him and DK. Most likely it's going to be him because it looks like teams are actually trying to take away DK more than they're trying to take away Lockett. So more often than not, Lockett's going to be the receiver to get a lot of the looks because he's not shadowed by the team's best cornerback. Number 7 for us was Julio Jones. He looks like he might have exited with an injury, so keep an eye on that. If you're a Calvin Ridley owner who finished as, or we said was going to be the 10th best receiver and finished as the 25th best receiver, keep an eye on that. Keep an eye out on Russell Gage as well. We said Chase Claypool was going to be the 8th best receiver this week, and we got the team right. It was just Deontay Johnson that finished as the top 10 receiver out of this offense. He did finish as wide receiver 20. He did break a record for 10 touchdowns in 10 games. So if you were able to pick him up off the waiver wire, congratulations. You have a weekly flex, weekly wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 option on your team. Adam Thielen finished as the 2nd best receiver. crushing my fantasy football dreams this week in my friends league because I was up and then I realized, oh great, they have Adam Thielen in the afternoon games. And all I had was, I forget who, but yeah, he just crushed my dreams. Just absolutely crushed it. Oh, I had CEH and I still lost. But God damn it. And then Calvin Ridley, we already touched on him for you this week as well. So weekly finishers, Keenan Allen finished as the best receiver. He does get Buffalo, so he gets a date with Tre'Davious White. But Keenan Allen's superior route running skills, I think, can still net him a pretty decent game. I'm not going to say 100 yards, but I'm going to say he's going to have 7 to 12 catches, 80 yards, and let's give him a touchdown because Herbert is a touchdown machine this year. Adam Thielen gets Carolina, so he's going to be a worrisome this week because he is on the COVID-19 list right now as of the recording. That might change by Sunday, but if that doesn't change, Justin Jefferson is going to be peppered with balls this week, and even maybe Irv Smith Jr., and we might even see Kyle the Reindeer Rudolph get some action this week as well. Third best receiver was Tyreek Hill. We already touched on him with Tampa Bay just a second ago. Now, number four is a surprise for everybody. Damir Bird, 132 yards. I believe he had a touchdown as well. Just leave him on the waiver wire. New England's receivers and really running backs at this point really can't be trusted. It's kind of like it was a couple years ago, maybe last year or 2 years ago with Tom Brady, where it's like him and Edelman were really the only two that you could trust outside of that. Yeah, you're going to have big games from a certain player on a certain week, but that's about it. Number five on the week was Davante Adams. Can't really say much more because he's just going to get peppered with targets from Aaron Rodgers. He gets Chicago, who doesn't really have a star defensive back. I mean, I'm really not scared of anybody on that team. So there's that. Deontay Johnson was the sixth best receiver this week. He does get Baltimore. It's going to be between him, Claypool, and Juju, but mainly him and Claypool for a top 10 finish every week on that Steelers offense because they are just throwing the ball like crazy. Just ridiculous amount of passes this year from Big Ben. DJ Moore, surprisingly, finished as the wide receiver 7. And I say surprisingly because I didn't think PJ Walker was going to have such success being his first start. I know he had a lot of experience in the XFL, but that's the XFL. We really haven't seen any XFL players come into the NFL and dominate. So that came to bite me in the butt because I didn't even rank him as a top 20 receiver, granted, or a top 20 quarterback. Granted, he only finished with about 12 points because he did have two or three interceptions, but he did look really good. So good, in fact, that he has two top 10 receivers this week in fantasy football. Mike Thomas, welcome back, finished as wide receiver 8. He can continue to be a top 10 receiver just because he is just so dominant. Those 3-yard slants are just unbeatable by him. And Taysom Hill can actually launch the ball downfield better than Drew Brees can. So expect to see a couple deep shots to him as well. Tyler Lockett does get Philly. He finished as the 9th best receiver. So again, like I said, more often than not, it's going to be Lockett with the higher finish because defenses are trying to take away DK, but he's still going to be a top 10, top 12 option for the rest of the year, especially with Russell Wilson. And then number 10 on the week for receivers was Curtis Samuel. We'll talk about him here a little bit more in a second, but he does get Minnesota. He has 20 or more points in the last, or 4 of the last 5 weeks. He has 100 yards or a touchdown in 4 of the last 5 weeks. You got to fire him up as a flex option if you have him. Or if you don't, because he's owned in 50% of the leagues, pick him up.
Hello, guys. This is Juju Talk Sports. You like sports betting, right? Of course you do. You're listening to a fantasy football podcast, after all. Well, let me tell you about Razorsport.com. Razor is a worldwide sports betting network all designed around helping you. Their diverse crew of handicappers produce plays that Vegas Sharps don't want you to know about. Go to their website right now and sign up for a free trial at Razorsport.com. That's Razor, R-A-Z-E-R, sport.com. Proud partners of the Slump Buster podcast. Check them out and enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, so we finally hit on some players. We finally did it. Travis Kelce, we said, was going to be the best tight end. Darren Waller, we said he was going to be the second best tight end. Guess what? They finished as 1-2. So go us. We finally got a player. Finally. I mean, it's not that hard if we say Travis Kelce is going to be the best tight end of the week because I mean, he's the best tight end in football right now. But still, a win's a win. We'll take it. Go Slump Buster. Now, we missed on their next guy. TJ Hockenson, we said, was going to be the third best tight end. He finished as tight end 13 on the week. Hunter Henry is developing into a top 10 tight end every week as well with Justin Herbert. We said he was going to finish as 4. He finished as 6, so pretty close for us. We said Gronk was going to be the fifth best tight end. Currently, this game is going, so we'll see where it stacks up at the end of the game. Noah Fant, we said, was going to be the sixth best tight end. He ended up finishing at 15. Bit of a down week for Denver, pretty much in all facets of the game. They did get the win, however, but still, fantasy-wise, outside of Melvin Gordon, it was kind of a down week for the most of everybody else. Dallas Goedert, we said, was going to be the seventh best tight end, and he finished as the fourth best tight end. So him and Richard Rodgers. Wentz loves his tight ends and is continuing to pepper those tight ends with targets. Goddard finished this week as 4. Richard Rodgers finished this week as 9. Jonnu Smith, week in, week out, he's going to be a top 10 option. We said he was going to be 8. He finished as 11. I pretty much had everything except for a touchdown this week. Mark Andrews, we finally had a Mark Andrews sighting this week. Finished as the third best tight end. Next week, however, I can pretty much say that he's going to be a touchdown-dependent tight end, especially against Pittsburgh. Their defense is pretty good. That's pretty much what's keeping them in all of these games. And then Logan Thomas, we said he's going to be the 10th best tight end because he has the most routes ran by a tight end this year. He's up there in targets as well, but he finished as tight end 34, so he is very touchdown-dependent. Because he's not going to be getting 9 targets. He's not going to be getting 5 catches for 100 yards. So he's going to be a touchdown-dependent guy. We just thought that this week was that week because, you know, Cincinnati's defense is porous, to say the best. All right, so on the weekly tight end rankings, Travis Kelce, again, finished 1. Got to fire him up as the best tight end in football right now. Darren Waller gets Atlanta, so he might give Kelce a run for his money. Mark Andrews finished as tight end overall 3. He gets Pittsburgh, so like I said, it's going to be a rough to trust him next week. Dallas Goedert gets Seattle, so expect another top 10 day for him, especially with Carson Wentz coming back, trying to keep them in games because he is a garbage time quarterback right now. Robert Tonyan gets Chicago back. He's very hit or miss, but I like him against Chicago next week. Fire him up as a top 10 option as well. Hunter Henry again gets Buffalo. I mean, the tight end position is so hit or miss, you kind of got to start him if you have him on your team. Eric Ebron, in a pass-heavy offense and against Baltimore, if you can't find a better option on the fantasy waiver wire, I mean, start him. He has a touchdown in 2 of the last 4 games. It's just he's hit or miss, but so is the tight end position this year. It's very difficult for tight ends this year, as is Jordan Akins from Houston. He finished as tight end number 8. He does look like the best fantasy option in that trio of tight ends that they have. He gets Detroit, so a plus matchup for him as well. Richard Rodgers finished as tight end number 9. He gets Seattle. Again, fire him up as a streaming option. And Dalton Schultz gets Washington. Talk about him here in a little bit as well, but fire him up as a streamer next week against Washington. All right, guys. So now let's get into Buster of the Week. So again, new segment for us. Buster of the Week is a guy that we ranked high and just completely, you know, fell short. Last week it was Jared Cook. We ranked him inside of our top 10, and he didn't even score a single point. He had two targets, no catches, no yards. So he was our buster of the week. This week, it's Alvin Kamara. Now, yes, he still had a crappy week for a number one overall running back, which is where we had him listed. And he finished as a RB3. So he didn't even finish. He finished, what, 25 to make him an RB3? So not even a top two option for most teams. So he is our buster of the week. For our slump buster of the week. Now, this is the guy that had a terrible week this week and is going to have a good week for you next week. That's going to be Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley finished this week with 3.9 points. But next week, he gets the Raiders, who have the fourth most points allowed to running backs this year. Plus matchup. So he's going to be our slump buster of the week. All right, guys. Now for our waiver wire ads. Our three quarterbacks, two running backs, three receivers, and two tight ends for you this week on our list. So quarterback-wise, we have Derek Carr. Now, he's going to be a streamer option for pretty much the rest of the year. These are his next five matchups. Ready? Atlanta, New York Jets, Indianapolis, Los Angeles Chargers, Miami Dolphins. So Atlanta, Jets, and Chargers, really good matchups. Miami, somewhat of a difficult matchup. They're about middle of the road. Indianapolis, on paper, is the best passing defense in the league. So one out of the four is a, you know, maybe find somebody else. But four of the next 5 weeks, he is going to be a top option for you. So pick him up if you can. Taysom Hill is only owned in, I think it was 46% of the leagues on Yahoo. So pick him up. No longer going to be a tight end for you, unfortunately, but he does have some plus matchups coming up. He does get Atlanta. He does have Carolina as well. Lastly, for the quarterbacks, Danny Dimes. Okay, ready? Cincinnati, Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, and Baltimore. So, yeah, the last week, probably not. But four of the next 5 weeks has plus matchups, especially three in a row with Cincinnati, Seattle, and Arizona. So fire those guys up. Pick them up if you can, especially in two quarterback leagues, super flex leagues. You got to pick these guys up. All right, now on to running backs waiver wire ad. We have Gus Bus, J.K. Dobbins, Mark Ingram, both out with COVID-19. They are already not going to play. They already announced it. He is the sole running back that they have on the active roster. They'll probably bring up a couple people that they have on the practice squad or whatnot, but he's going to be the feature back are on this offense. And then Sony Michel. Rex Burkhead got hurt. He's going to come in now as the 1B to Damien Harris. Again, it's a New England running back. Bill Belichick hates fantasy football, so just be wary of that, but pick him up. Now on to the receivers. Again, this one's going to be weird, but do it. Nelson Aguilar leads the team in receptions, in yards, and leads the team in touchdowns. And again, listen to the games that they have. Ready? Atlanta, burnable. Jets, burnable. Indianapolis, so-so. Chargers, burnable. Miami, so-so. So three of the next four, you can fire him up as your flex option. You're probably going to be able to get him for $0 on the waiver wire. I don't really see a bunch of people going out to get him because it is Nelson Aguilar and the stigma with him. But go ahead and pick him up. Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts. Starting to develop as Philip Rivers' favorite target. 100 yards or touchdown in the last two games. We're starting to see some consistency from him, so pick him up as well. And then again, Curtis Samuel, 100 yards or touchdown in four of the last five games, two touchdowns 3 weeks ago. So you got to pick him up. He's in the rush game. He's in the pass game. They're going to be leaning on him. So fire up all three of those guys. Very good flex options for your team. And then to finish it off, tight end-wise, we have Jordan Reed coming off of a bye week, so he has time to get fully healthy. He is the preferred tight end in San Francisco. And Dalton Schultz in Dallas. Andy Dalton is going to be relying on the tight end, especially with that offensive line not working very well. He had a touchdown this week. I believe he had two touchdowns in the previous games with Andy Dalton, so the rapport is already there with those guys. So that'll be it for us, guys, this week. Again, we have three games on Thanksgiving night, so watch out for that. check your lineups, check all of the news. We have six teams playing Thursday. So a lot of the action is going to be Thursday on Thanksgiving. And then we have the Sunday and Monday games as well. So Sunday's going to be a little bit light for all of the red zone watchers and whatnot. But Thursday, we get football all day long, baby. All day. So that'll be it for us. Like, rate, review, subscribe, share, download, send it to a friend, do all that stuff. Help us out. We love putting out content for you guys. We love fantasy football. That's why we do this. Just help us out. Get the word out. If you like it, get the word out. If you don't like it, shut up. We don't want to hear from you. I'm just kidding. If you don't like it, let us know what we can improve on. That's what we're here for. We want to get the most people involved. We also have our new show, Should This Count? So go ahead and send us your fantasy disputes. Send us your fantasy questions, and we will debate on if it should count and get back to you with an answer. So that'll be it for us, guys. We will see you next week with a full slate of games.